Good morning, evening, or afternoon, whatever it is. Again, this is the Game Nuts Podcast, episode 12. This is Boder.
And this is Fear the Claw.
Boder has to admit something. I was wrong with a couple of the release dates last week. One of which was not my fault. Halo 3 ODST was my fault. That releases September 22nd, so you still got a few weeks to save up scratch for that.
Woohoo!
Which means that I'm probably actually going to be getting that on release day. Before, I was trying to decide Scribblenauts or ODST. And I was going to decide Scribblenauts for what I'll mention later. And speaking of Scribblenauts, it also was delayed 1 week. That one's not my fault. It was delayed within the past week or so. So that is now coming out the 8th or so. So, next week, not this week. So that's what's going to come out. Just a little unprepared today. Both of us didn't have too much to talk about. We were counting on Sticky. He's running a bit late. You may have forgotten recording altogether. He's going to pop in a ton of, "Hey guys, what's..." Oh!
Oh.
So, we'll see how that prediction holds up. But, a game that did come out, that we talked about a little bit last week, Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
Did you play it?
I played the demo that's on Xbox Live and absolutely loved it. I cannot wait for the full game. I've been debating back and forth whether I'd be willing to spend the $60 on it. And from what I've been hearing from everybody who's played it, it's definitely worth the $60.
I have not played it either. However, I went over to a friend's place right when he got it. I went to his apartment at 4 o'clock just to hang out. He had just started. I thought he was playing the demo at first, but no, it was the actual game. And let's see, that was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 9 o'clock rolled around, and I'm like, I should eat. Maybe, you know, go to the store and get some milk so I can make macaroni and cheese or something, you know, easy like that. But that would mean leaving. And that would mean missing watching the game. 2 o'clock rolled around and he finished. It was about a 10.5 hour game for him.
That's not too bad.
And we're finally like, all right, let's go have some peanut butter sandwiches and go to bed.
Yeah.
At 10.5 hours, the game sits really well. It's not like Too Human, which I played, I loved, and felt gypped at 10 hours.
Yeah.
Because they did the obvious cliffhanger for a sequel sort of thing.
Which probably will never happen.
I would like it to. I would like them to clean up ranged combat, but...
I don't think the game, with everything that was behind it, and oh, it's this epic trilogy, and we've been working on it for 12 years, and then it comes out, and it was not received well critically or commercially.
I love the thing. I love the concept. I love the melee gameplay. I think so many people wanted to go with a shooting gameplay, and yeah, that didn't work. But anyway, Batman, hey!
Yeah.
That game that came out this August, not last August. Yeah, it's... At 10.5 hours, it sits really well. You know, I looked at my friend and I said... You know, basically what I just said now with Too Human, it felt right. It felt just the right length.
I think for that type of experience... Around the 10-hour mark is perfect. I think a lot of games... I would rather play a game that may be a little on the short side, but feels complete, than play a game that artificially extends its gameplay to last 20, 30, 40 hours, and you're doing the same thing over and over again, or you're getting, you know... strange plot twists thrown at you.
I mean, well, plot twists can be good, but like this has like challenge maps, and you can go back and try to find all the interview reels and stuff like that. Stuff to find, replay value.
Attention, listeners. This is your captain speaking. Boder speaking from the editing room. If you are going to be playing Arkham Asylum and don't want any spoilers on the game whatsoever, skip forward to the 8-minute time code. I do mention some spoilers about the game. So you have been forewarned. I'll put in some silence, and we'll see you at 8 minutes.
But, when we were playing, there was a couple interesting bits. First off, there was a short interlude with Poison Ivy and dealing with, like, a lot of her plants going amok and trying to, like, take over. Spoiler, by the way. Basically, any major Batman villain that there's been, almost any... It is in here. They did such a good job actually working them in and not just being gratuitous. They actually are integral to the plot.
Well, and that's one of the advantages, I think, of doing it in Arkham Asylum is there's a certain logic to there are villains there. There are just random henchmen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The guards would have had guns so the henchmen can have... You know, there's a lot of logic behind it taking place in Arkham Asylum for a Batman game. What I'm worried about is, all right, this game is a huge hit. Everybody loves it. What's the sequel gonna be, you know?
If they're smart, they won't do a straight sequel. They might do more Batman games, but they won't do a straight sequel sort of thing. You know?
Well, where do you take it from here?
Yeah. You know, if they're smart, they're not gonna do too much with it. But, with the bit with Poison Ivy, it actually reminded me a lot of the original Half-Life, because I felt that that game's strongest point was when you're dealing with the original, like where you first start out. Stop holding up the Half-Life 2 box and covering the number. It's, you know, when you're defending your workplace, it's normal Earth, and I felt that the game lost something when you went to Zen, Alien World, and it had that sort of feel once Poison Ivy started taking over. It was creepy, it was weird, it was chilling, but I felt that the game lost something with that.
Okay, well, I'm gonna be honest, the only Valve game I've ever played is Portal. But I know what you're saying about how certain parts of the game being, you know, just a little bit creepy, but
just,
fitting
just,
in.
Yeah, just almost like changed too much, almost too alien. Which, for the first little bit, feels good, but when it gets to gameplay, it's like, eh, this isn't quite as fun.
Yeah, I remember playing a game, playing through Ghostbusters, which I want to come back to briefly later. But playing through Ghostbusters, there were certain parts of the game that, like, the library... very creepy, and almost a little too creepy for Ghostbusters, and then kind of took bizarre turns along the way. So I know what you're saying with that.
Yeah.
With that.
Another one, another quick spoiler is that Scarecrow comes in and he sends you on weird hallucination trips, and one of them is supposed to be triggered by, you know, you walk by him and he reaches out and grabs you. At least that's the best we could figure out, because, you know, in the demo when you go flipping around on gargoyles, is he decided to go up above something, going around on gargoyles, and all of a sudden the screen, like, flipped out. We thought his 360 had crashed, and all of a sudden we're in the middle of a Scarecrow hallucination that is more of a mind f*** than anything in the game.
Okay, I'm going to cut off the Batman conversation right now, because you're giving away too many spoilers here. I'm starting to get...
Okay. Boater here again, just filling in the gap. I have about 17 seconds to fill between the moment and the 8-minute mark that I promised people that the spoilers would end at. I don't want to give you just silence to listen to, so it's me talking about not having silence. We're back.
This is your captain speaking again.
Boater again, thank you for sticking with us. If you stuck through us through that, don't get mad at me. I gave you the spoiler warning. If you did heed the warning and you are here now, welcome back. I now return you to your regularly scheduled podcast.
The general consensus from what I've been hearing is the game experiences are too good to be spoiled.
When I said that it seemed like the 360 crashed, I'm sure that was just something that was... he broke the game somehow. But we were really worried because he has... the weirdest 360 I have ever seen in my life. Sometimes you'll turn it on and it'll red ring, and okay, you gotta turn it off and turn it back on again. Sometimes it'll turn on, it'll flash the three red lights of death, but it'll play just fine. I have a picture of him playing Arkham Asylum while the 360 is showing the red ring of death. He has a zombie 360.
That is entertaining. Actually, on a similar note, earlier this week I was playing Saints Row 2 and it froze mid-game, and I went, "Oh crap, it's still running." Still hasn't given me any problems since then, but I know that dark cloud is looming over the 360. I did, just to go briefly back to Ghostbusters, play Ghostbusters for the Wii, finally. A friend of mine rented it, brought it over, and I'll just give you a quick review of what I played. Cartooning graphics are a little weird, but they work for, you know,
okay,
for what they're trying to do with it. I mean, I would rather them do that than try to do the realistic graphics that the systems can't do.
Yeah, have it looking... You know, at this point, if you try to do realistic graphics on the Wii or on the PS2, it's going to look like what they were trying to do with realistic graphics around the turn of this decade.
Yeah. I wish that they had licensed Deke's designs from the real Ghostbusters, because, like, Bill Murray's model is, like, his nose looks kind of crushed, and there are a couple of weird designs, but overall...
He was kicked in the face by a particularly nasty ghost.
Yeah. Overall, I mean, the game is noticeably different visually, and a couple of the level layouts are different, but... Plays exactly the same. If you don't have a 360 or a PS3 and you really want to play Ghostbusters, I don't think you'll feel shortchanged playing the Redfly Studios version for either the PS2 or the Wii. So just getting that out of the way, I know I said a few weeks ago I was going to play it and talk about it. It just took a little longer to play it than I had expected.
I mentioned that originally I was thinking of not getting ODST at first and getting Scribblenauts. Part of the thing that contributed to that was that Monday I was browsing around the Avatar Marketplace and I started seeing, like, vertical lines on all the thumbnails. I'm like, this is a little weird. So I went back to the dashboard and it was showing it too. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just pull the, you know, computer thing and restart. 360 goes off. 360 goes on. E74.
Oh, jeez.
First blood.
It's the first problem I've ever had with my... Stop it. No. Good quick draw. Good quick draw. But no, it's the first problem I've ever had with the 360. It's a year and 3 months in, so, you know, I got the free, free shipping, free repair, free service thing. Went down to... Keep it under control, buddy. Went down to the mail drop in Oneida, which ships things out. I didn't have a box or anything. The guy down there just has like a $12 flat fee for the actual service for boxing it up and the stuff. So that's pretty cool. So I'm waiting on that coming back. And then when it does, I'll do that. And I'll get the Mass Effect Pinnacle Station DLC. Pinnacle Station came out on Tuesday. Downloadable content for the original Mass Effect. Mass Effect 2 has been pushed back to February 1st of 2010. So
okay,
this is a pretty decent holdover.
That's what I was just about to say. Isn't Mass Effect 2 coming out shortly? Why are they doing DLC for the original?
They pushed it back for two reasons. Number one, they're like, hey, we have this DLC. Let's release it and give it some time to sort of stand on its own. And number two, let's not release it during the Christmas rush. Yay! Thank you!
That, you know, it seemed almost seems as though too many studios have had the idea of, let's push back our game, polish them, and get them out of the Christmas rush. So now, instead of a Christmas rush, we've got a spring rush.
There is still a Christmas rush. You cannot look at the game releases and tell me there's not a Christmas rush.
Okay, well, we got Halo. We got Batman.
Yeah. I wouldn't say Christmas rush until, like, October releases. But, I'd have to look at my request list of games coming out. Mostly Modern Warfare 2.
All right. Yeah,
Blur is coming out with that. That's an Activision one. Let me look at my list really quick.
Okay.
So you keep stalling for time and trying to think of stuff.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm taking control of the show here.
Other games that we've got requested, let's see. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, but that's not a huge... it's not like one of the huge sort of things. I'm actually coming up with a blank, which is a little embarrassing, but I know that there's a bunch of games coming out that are still going to be November releases. This feels weird. We just swapped seats.
I know.
It's so weird seeing it from this side.
I feel like I have far more control than I should have. Ooh, look, Power Strip.
And I kick you in the face. And I'll make sure to kick you in the face again once we get the podcast running so that they hear it. Alright, what else you got to talk about? I've talked about my dead 360, which actually, you know, I've had good luck with them. Unlike Sticky, who's had like 5 killed, you know.
Killing spree!
You know, but...
Yeah, I'm fortunate. When I bought my 360, one of the first things I looked at was manufacture date. Mm-hmm. Mine was manufactured in May of 2008, which means mine should have a longer life than
yours,
a lot of them.
Yours has a 65 construction on the CPU, but a 90 on the GPU. 90, what is it, nanometer or whatever. And that's what mine had. So if anything fails on yours, it's probably going to be the GPU. You're probably going to get an E74. I'm hoping that when mine is sent back, it's sent back with a whole new Jasper motherboard. That's the one that has 65 for both.
Right. I'm pretty sure mine's got the Falcon.
Yep. That's.
There's no way to tell other than knowing exactly when they've come out.
And
you know.
Look on. I don't know if Wikipedia has it. But you do a little bit of Google sleuthing. See how good your Google Foo is.
Well, I've been using my 360 a lot more lately, especially since I have somebody to play games with.
But it didn't help the heat wave that we had here. Probably didn't help my 360 at all.
No, probably not.
I live on the third floor apartment in a 50-year-old building.
I did take Sticky's advice, though, and I turned my 360 on its side so it's horizontal.
You weren't doing that before?
No.
Wow.
I had heard the opposite from other people.
I hear both, but all the evidence for standing it up is anecdotal. I've never heard a reason it should work.
It's six of one, a half dozen of the other. I think no matter what you do, it's going to end up red ringing anyway, so.
It's going to end up with something eventually, but keeping it flat has two things. Number one, admittedly, maybe it's this way, maybe it's the other way for whether or not it's going to get a failure and heat problems. But number two, if it gets bumped, it's less likely to put a ring in the disc. That's very important.
Yes, that is very important. As long as we're talking about it and we don't really have much else to talk about.
Yeah, we're stalling for time here. Sticky apparently completely forgot about the podcast recording or he slept in. So if you were looking for important news in the second half of the podcast, well, sorry. Catch it next week.
We've descended into the Claw and Boater Show or Boater and Claw Show or, you know what, we'll fight about that one later. But
it's basically we're going to shoot the for another 10 minutes.
That's fine by me. Couple things, we didn't, I know we talked about the PS3 Slim and the price drop last week, but, I want to just kind of quickly go back to that on how do you feel about how the Xbox 360 stacks up against the PS3 now that the price has dropped on the PS3,
Well, there's really two 360s that are worth looking at, that are being made right now. Not that are worth looking at. There's the Arcade and the Elite.
Right.
Those are the only two that are even being manufactured. Of those, I only feel that the Elite is worth looking at. So, you know, they did a hardware comparison on Kotaku that is really even. It's the 360 Elite versus the new Slim PS3. Both have a 120 drive. The 360 has better online support. The PS3 has free online gaming. You get what you pay for. It is really now something that I say it's a matter of personal preference. Price is no longer an issue when you're getting one of these systems.
Right, which is why I'm actually planning on, probably within the next 6 months or so, grabbing a PlayStation 3. I don't know whether I'm going to get a Slim or just grab a used fat one.
The Slim uses 70% less power than the PS3
set. 70%? That is impressive.
Sony said 34. Kotaku hooked it up to an actual machine that'll read power usage. 70% less.
That's a...
Get a Slim. Someone was in here saying, should I get a Slim or should I get a, you know, one of the old thicks at the same price yesterday? If I had known that, I said you probably want to get a Slim. So, Jeff, if you're listening, I'm wicked sorry, dude. Hopefully, you know, if your energy bill is expensive, well, I can't do much for you, but I apologize.
Well, I mean, if you own a 360, that thing's already running off of a, you know, nuclear reactor plugged into the
wall
anyway.
They've actually, with each subsequent motherboard, it's using less and less power. I think originally it was using 205, now it's at, like, 170.
Yay, Moore's Law!
I think it's even a little smaller than that.
If you don't know what Moore's Law is, look it up. Anyway, see... But look at...
You're a bad kid making them look it up instead of actually saying it.
Not that there's much else to talk about.
Well, I considered after you criticized for me, but no, look it up. Moore's Law.
I'll look it up and tell them in editing.
Ha ha!
No, I won't.
You don't know what it is, do you?
It's ringing a bell.
Okay, Moore's Law, as long as we're not talking about anything important right now.
Well, you're welcome, listeners.
Worst podcast ever. Moore's Law is, and I can't do this word for word, but it basically is that every 5 years,
technology advances
double.
Double, yeah.
Every 5 years. So, you know, the current generation of systems has been out for a few years, so you notice it's starting to get smaller, yep, it's starting to run cooler,
it's
starting
cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, that was what Microsoft said with their price drop. It's less of a response to Sony, and more that, well, it's getting cheaper for us to do this, here you go. I mean, I always felt that black was the Xbox's color, the Elite was the way to go. The only difference is that the Elite shipping at $300 is not shipping with an HDMI cable.
Yeah, it's not shipping with an HDMI cable. You still have the red ring looming over it no matter what you do.
It has a Jasper motherboard, so less so than previous years.
It is no smaller than any previous Xbox 360.
They don't plan on doing a Slim. All of their upgrades are going to be through dashboard upgrades and doing that sort of thing, which is fine. I have no desire for a 360 hardware revision.
Well, I'm just, and I've heard other people say this as well, that if you don't have either system and you don't have, you know, depending on what your tastes are in gaming, the PS3 could be the better deal right now. Because, first of all right, the Xbox 360 does not play Blu-ray, or, you know, if you happen to have HD DVDs like I do, you need a separate drive for it. So you lose that functionality. I can't remember what the whole list is, but out of the box, PlayStation 3 is the better deal at $300.
It does have the Blu-ray capability. It does have slightly better stats. They finally upgraded the Ghostbusters on PS3 to, you know, look as good as it should. I think it was rendering too low quality, and they fixed that.
Yeah, I believe wasn't the resolution like 540p instead of 1080p?
Know. I don't know.
I don't know, I played it on the Xbox 360 and it looked fantastic, so. Which is kind of weird because Sony owns the Ghostbusters franchise. You'd think that, you know.
It was the developers screwing up and they patched it, so, you know, no biggie. But back to, you know, when it comes to the game libraries, 360 has a bigger list of exclusive games. But when you look at the A+ titles, they're very similar. Killzone is the big one on is the big first-person shooter on PS3 versus Halo for the 360. Is Resistance third-person or first-person?
Resistance for the PS3 is first-person.
First-person?
PSP is third-person.
Okay. I consider Resistance to sort of go up against Gears of War, which is third-person. But, you know, again, exclusive versus exclusive.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo is going against Forza Motorsport 3, which is another releasing in October.
Yeah, I'm not much for driving sims. I'd rather play something like Burnout with the crazy physics and crashes.
Yep.
Or Blur, Mario Kart with the
Blur, Fuel, weapons. Split Second. Those are my three for the next year or so.
But yeah, I mean, the Xbox 360's exclusives. Let's see. Do you like first-person shooters? No. Well, that's okay. We've got third-person shooters. You don't like third-person shooters?
We've got them racing.
We've got Banjo-Kazooie. Project Gotham.
Yeah. Plenty of, you know, Afro Samurai. No, that's not a Fable.
Fable. All right, yeah, I'll give you Fable.
Let's see. Give me one. I'm gonna go into the next room and look at what games we got. I'm gonna shout them back. You repeat them for the.
I would just like to apologize if you were a first-time listener. We are horribly unprepared for this week, so. Did you did not just mention Deadliest Catch as a exclusive for the 360 that is worth mentioning, did you?
I mentioned it. Mass Effect. Shut the hell up.
Mass Effect. All right, I'll give you Mass Effect.
Dead Rising.
Wait, Mass Effect is not an exclusive. That's on PlayStation 3.
No, it's not. What are you smoking? Mass Effect ain't on PS3.
I guess it's on PC.
Yeah, it's PC.
I could have sworn that there was a PlayStation 3 version of it. You're the store clerk.
A lot of JRPGs, like Lost Odyssey, Enchanted Arms.
Yeah, whoever thought that JRPGs would be coming out almost exclusively on an American-made system.
Project Sylphie.
And we have dead air. Well, anyway, I'm just saying, I mean, I love my 360. I'm glad that I went with a 360 as opposed to the PlayStation 3.
But then again, the PS3 has, you know, the two that I would get for that, Little Big Planet, Valkyria Chronicles. I mean, they both have
Metal Gear Solid.
Yes, although the next Metal Gear Solid is going to be out on the 360.
Yes, but that's not going to be one of the primary story Metal Gear Solids. It'll be a side story.
I think we're going to wrap this up pretty early. We're floundering.
Yeah, past. This is just pathetic.
I was counting on Sticky showing up and having news, but yeah. He slept in. I can't wait till he gets here and he's like, oh, no. Look at the list of exclusive games for the 360 versus the, I'm going to repeat that because we just got an error showing up on our computer, but it's a stupid thing that it does all the time. Long story short, look at the exclusive games for the 360 versus the PS3 and choose for yourself. The 360 has better online support, PS3 is free online support. PS3 has wireless built in, 360 you gotta pay for the additional thing.
Oh yeah, that was the other thing I was gonna mention, is if you don't have your modem or router right next to your Xbox 360, that's another $100 tacked on to the price.
So, it's really, look at them, at this point, choose for yourself. We're going to do, when things get closer, probably October, we're going to start a program, you know, this or that, which sucks less. We haven't figured out a name for it, but basically comparing
Which sucks less works for me, I like that one.
Comparing two different systems and saying, which should you get, you know, and moving on from there.
You know?
PS3 versus 360 is going to be the headliner, and we'll actually have a list of things together for that. We'll each have a list of exclusive games. So look forward to this conversation coming up again in probably November, so.
Okay, so I guess this is Fear the Claw signing out from the director's chair.
And this is Boder signing out from a position of extreme regret. I apologize deeply for the preceding 25 minutes of your life.
Yes, I think we deserve one of these.